Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our current series of studies, Living Evidences of God, and of course, that is in our lives. Our theme verse is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him, that is of Christ, through knowing Christ as Savior, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And today on the study, we wish to consider Christ, the living Christ, as our food. On our last broadcast, we considered the living Christ as the life that is within us, and that life must be sustained spiritually speaking. Now, it's interesting to note that in the Word of God, Christ is spoken of as food in three different manners. Christ Himself speaks of Himself as the bread of life, and then there is Christ as the milk. We will consider it later in the broadcast. And then Christ is the strong meat. Three kinds of meat: bread, milk, and meat. And they're all spoken as of referring to Christ. Now, in the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, we're going to consider Him as bread first of all. The Jewish people were taunting our Lord Jesus Christ, so to speak, in that sixth chapter of John's Gospel, and they wanted a miracle. They wanted Him to demonstrate His power. They said in verse 30, They said therefore unto Him, What sign showest Thou, that we may see and believe Thee? What dost Thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. And then He goes on to say, But I said unto you that ye also have seen Me and believe not. All that the Father hath given Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. Now our Lord Jesus Christ says, You're looking for a sign. I am your sign, really. I am the bread of life. And he puts it in such a way that we know it's not literal bread. The Jewish people are so pragmatic. They say later in this chapter, the Lord repeats this thought. He says, verse 47, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on Me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread. In other words, I am the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. For the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? I said they were pragmatic, and they were. They literalized everything. And they said, How can this man give us his flesh and to eat and His blood to drink? Well, they were right. But the Lord is spiritualizing it. He says now in chapter 6, verse 35, which we read, Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. Well now, in what sense does the Christian never hunger? Well, it's that his hunger is satisfied. Christ is the living bread, and He satisfies our souls. Now here, the bread that he's speaking of, in the sixth chapter, He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. He's talking about the hunger and the thirst of the soul. And you know, our souls are hungry, and our souls are thirsty. I believe that I've said it before, and perhaps on this broadcast, that God in His wisdom made the human soul hungry so that he could satisfy that hunger. But instead of that, men are trying to satisfy their hunger their own way, through pleasures of life, and through great exploits, through education, through music. Oh, there are so many channels that they are trying to indeed achieve a goal. They're trying to find satisfaction. Well, they'll never find satisfaction in this world, I'll tell you that. But men are trying. And as I said before, I believe that God has created our hearts hungry so that the Lord could meet the hunger of that soul. And so that's why he says, he that eateth cometh to me. Well, let's read the verse again, and then we will not misquote it. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is spiritual hunger. This is spiritual thirst. Now, actually, as far as literal hunger is concerned and literal thirst, I, as a Christian, could just get as hungry as I ever was. And I can indeed be just as thirsty as I ever was. But there is a sense in which I, after I've tasted, so to speak, of the bread of life and eaten him, you'll have to understand the way I mean that, after I have done what the Jews thought was impossible to do, I appropriated him. Now, the Lord Jesus goes on right there in that sixth chapter. He dumbfounds these Jewish people who are listening to him. He says, as we've already read, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, and I will give my, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, and listen to this, please. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now the Jews were taught in their law never to drink blood. And here this upstart, this man who claims to be the Messiah, is telling them, you've got to drink my blood, you've got to eat my flesh. In their pragmatic way of putting things together, they couldn't get it. But Lord promises, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Now the Lord is speaking in a spiritual sense, and they were speaking in the literal sense. The Lord makes it figurative. My body, if you will accept me, the hunger of your soul will be satisfied. And men, they need the Lord Jesus Christ today. They need the Lord. That hunger will never be satisfied apart from Christ. They're seeking everything to satisfy their soul, and they're just not getting the job done. Do you know, on this occasion, many of the so-called followers of the Lord Jesus that call themselves disciples went back and they did not follow the Lord anymore. Now, we have denominations in the world today that are trying to literalize this too. And there is the doctrine, for instance, of transubstantiation, where as we eat it, it becomes the body of the Lord. I don't think that's the point. The point is this: as we must appropriate literal food, so we must appropriate the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. What do they speak to us of? Calvary. His body was nailed to that cross. His blood was shed. Why? To cleanse me from my sins, to cleanse you from your sins. And he did that for you and for me. His body was nailed to that tree. And while he was on that cross, God imputed our sins to him, and he died as if guilty in our place. Our sins were laid on Christ, Isaiah 53, and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. His blood was shed. And John the Apostle says in John, Revelation chapter 1, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now you and I have to appropriate that death is for ourselves. Now when we do it, the hunger of our soul is satisfied. It must be taken in the spiritual sense because we receive a spiritual life. Now quickly, let's go on to the fact that Christ is seen in the Word of God as milk. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we read these words. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. The sincere milk of the Word. Well, you said that I said, or perhaps you remember that I quoted, that Christ is the milk. Well, he is, but he is presented to us in the Word of God. Now, we see this very plainly in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. Notice, please, how Paul puts this. As brethren, and I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now, he says he's already told them in the chapter preceding this. He says, when I came among you, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And this is here he says, I have fed you with milk. Now, Christ crucified on that cross, for me, is the milk of the Word of God. That is what we rejoice in when we first get saved. Jesus died for me. It's the milk of the Word. It's what God has done for us. Now, the milk, and I say this, and I must hurry on, the milk is that which God has given, done for you and for me. But the meat, in Hebrews chapter 5, is what Christ is in himself. And in that wonderful portion of Scripture, we read there, Paul speaking to the Hebrews, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. See, you're dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one teach you what are the first of principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. And he presents Christ in all his glory. That's the strong meat, Christ in his glory. The milk, Christ for what he's done for us. The meat, Christ for what he is. Father, bless the word to our hearts today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.